What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on The Grave Talks, returning to The Cabin on 360, a conversation with Dennis Estlock and Ryan Jones. We recently did an episode about The Cabin on 360, a very active piece of property in Mechanicsville, Virginia. This property has seen everything from Civil War battles to a gruesome murder. They're not just one or two haunted locations, but three. The cabin, the ranch house next door, and the woods themselves. After hearing some incredible stories in our last episode, I was wrapping it up when they said,
"If you want to know about the other parts of the location, we'll do another show."
Because there are stories about the cabin, too, we didn't get into.
Well, let's do a part two in a couple weeks.
And
there's good stories about the woods that I can relate to.
Okay, let's, because we really did focus more on the house. So in about two more weeks, let's circle back and do another one. So here we are, circling back. And today we're focusing on the cabin and on the woods. So if you haven't listened to our first two episodes, listen to those first and then come back to this conversation. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we're returning to The Cabin on 360 with Dennis Estlock and Ryan Jones. So, Ryan and Dennis, thank you both so much for coming back for our part two of The Cabin on 360. Thank you very much for taking the time tonight.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Last time we talked, the last thing, I think it was you, Dennis, you said, if you want to know about the other parts of the locations, we'll do another show. And then I think Ryan said there are stories about the cabin and the woods that we hadn't even gotten to. And the crazy thing is we had talked about so many really interesting stories that you guys had that I kind of thought that was it.
Yeah, but wait. There's more.
There's more. Now, you can go back if you're listening to this episode and you have not listened to the other one. It's called The Cabin on 360. Start with that one first and then dive into this one, because that one kind of sets it up. We really don't have to do it twice, but we can do a quick little overview. So maybe if somebody listened to it a couple weeks ago and they don't remember everything. So you guys are in Virginia. Mechanicsville, Virginia. Now, this is a unique property because there's a cabin, there's a ranch home, and then a wooded area. And these three different places have activity going on in all three of them, correct?
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
And the first one, we really focused on the ranch house. And that one, there was a murder in the house, but there's just so much more to it. that if we start talking about it, there goes the whole episode again. So that, so listen to the first episode for the real behind the scenes on that, because I thought that was a fascinating, sad, scary story, actually. Now, the cabin, let's kind of focus on that one first, Ryan. That's your family's cabin, right?
Yes. Back in the early 80s, the grandfather's, Joe, a family company, we used to build log homes. So we built the log cabin as a model home. Basically, you go there and you check out the house. And if you like what you see, you know, you buy a plot of land and we'll buy, we'll build you the log cabin exactly the way it's presented, you know, on the, on 360. But, you know, after a while we stopped building log homes. So we had an empty building there. And then after what happened with Melissa, they decided to, instead of having one house like residential and other house business, or they decided to, just make the whole, make both buildings, like business. So they rezoned the property and made the brick rancher business, and then they already had the cabin as a place of business. So they had different businesses would come in, and they'd rent out the property. They had like, we had a gift shop in there. There was a woman who made a doggy, like dog treats, like a dog treat bakery. There is a thrift shop in there at one point, a doll shop. There was a hair salon in there. So it had several different businesses, but never, none of them lasted more than 5 years.
Do you think that's because of the activity, or was it just maybe poor business planning or something?
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
And, you know, so often, especially on our other show, Real Ghost Stories, people are, they always say, well, you know, our family built this house. You know, nobody even lived in this house before. It's not possible for there to be any paranormal activity in this house. But I think there's just more that goes on than just, I built a house. It shouldn't have paranormal activity. I don't think it's quite that simple. What do you think, Dennis?
We have a simple catchphrase with the cabin, and that's what has history done to the land? And I think that's pretty much what it boils down to. Just because a new building has never had a tragedy occur in it, that land has been there forever. What happened on that land before that building was even thought of? And I think that's a lot of what's happened with the cabin and the woods that are behind it. You know, it was just things that history has done. I mean, Civil War was fought right on that land. You know, possible thousands of men were killed right where we walked. Mm. So what have they left behind? What energy have they left? And if we go on the theory that man's atrocity to man can open up a portal and, you know, for lack of better terms, a slight tear in the veil between that side and this side, then that's a perfect place for it to happen.
You know, I never really thought about it like that, man's atrocities to man, but that makes sense that it will leave behind a very negative energy.
I mean, if you look at the majority of haunted locations, and it doesn't matter what you're looking at, you know, you look at Gettysburg, you know, the orphanage, Jenny Wade House, the taverns, the battlefields, those all had something man versus man atrocities occur. That's why they're active. If those buildings weren't there, if you look at the middle of the battlefield, they're still haunted. It's not because something took place in a building. It's because something took place on that land. There's nothing, you know, right here is where, you know, 29th Pennsylvania fell or whatever. There's no marker at this exact spot but we know that's a very active spot. It's because of what took place on that land, and it tainted the energy of the ground itself. And I think the cabin, the woods behind us, they are just what is a result of what took place on that land through the years. And if we even go back before Civil War, we know that somewhere in the 1630s, 1640s, the European settlers were up in that area. They moved the natives off, pretty much pushed them off the land. What did the natives leave behind? You know, natives were notorious for cursing the land.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say that's not part of what took place here?
I had people reach out to me that one lady who used to work at the hair salon says that she used to park her car in the parking lot on the side of the building. And there is a window on the second floor that you can see people. You can see someone said that, she would see a man standing at the window when there was nobody in the building. And she said it was a Civil War soldier.
Oh, she actually saw him
as she was pulling out of the driveway.
I'm just assuming that whatever is on the land there is also what affected the rancher house as well. Do you guys think, or do you think they're kind of cabin in the woods kind of go more together and the rancher's its own thing? Or do you think they're all three connected?
Honestly, I think it's all three have their own thing going on. I've never seen a Civil War spirit inside either of the buildings, but I've seen numerous outside. I've never mm-hmm. seen the old man that stood at my feet one night while I slept in the log cabin. I've never seen him on the property. But, I don't know. I don't know if they have a quote-unquote defining boundary or they're just there.
Are there other properties in that area, or are you guys kind of out on your own there?
There's other residences. So if looking at the house off to the 11 o'clock position, the northwest, there's a house a quarter of a mile or a little better. There's a house immediately to our west, maybe a tenth of a mile. There's one immediately to the east that's maybe a tenth of a mile. And that's about it. I mean, we're pretty much by ourselves. We've got farmland all around us.
I wonder if anybody else, they have any activity, because all of that would have kind of happened in that general area, I would assume.
So we were contacted, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago. There's a gentleman that lives about a quarter of a mile, maybe, to our northwest. And there's a subdivision back that way. And he's lived in that home, he said, for 15, 20 years and always had activity, including his wife seeing a Civil War soldier in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to bet, which most people, if you ask them, well, I'm sure you've interviewed plenty of people or at least talked to them at events and whatnot. And the first thing they say when they want to tell you a story is, oh, you're going to think I'm crazy, but,
mm-hmm.
and then they start into their story. Well, how many people don't even touch into that because they're afraid, quote unquote, you're going to think I'm crazy?
I think there's a lot of people like that, actually.
Yeah, getting their stories is kind of difficult. It's gotten easier in the past, say, decade because of the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more mainstream now to say, hey, I got some paranormal activity in my home. People don't look at you like you've grown a third eyeball.
Do you have some people come out there and they're like, yeah, whatever, and then they have an experience?
Most definitely.
Actually, I host a podcast myself, and I had one of the teams that came out to the cabin. They told me that when they booked the cabin, they're like, well, we're going to use this investigation as a training investigation, because they had gone to St. Albans Sanatorium, and then they're going to go to the cabin. Then they're going to go to Sweet Spring Sanatorium in West Virginia, and they're looking at the cabin is just kind of a break, just kind of team building type thing. They told me through the investigation that the cabin on 360 is the most messed up location they've ever been to. They, half their team didn't want to come back to the cabin. They said they were too scared to come back after what they had experienced out there. It is very unassuming. You don't think it doesn't have like the gothic structures of like a prison or all the dark history of an asylum, but there's so much there that if you go in there, take it lightly, it could seriously, you know, mess with your head. And it took one of the investigators like 2 or 3 months before they were able to come back. But it wasn't all dark stuff either. They actually captured some really, really cool evidence of Melissa in the Brick Rancher as well. It's if you want to look them up, it's Beyond the Badge Paranormal Investigations, and there's a 3-part series on the cabin, and they all said it's their favorite location.
So Dennis, what do you think's going on with the cabin? You have a pretty good insight.
I think there's, it's very weird, and this may sound confusing. I think the spirits and the energy that are there attract anybody nearby that passes.
Mm.
So we're sitting right on State Route 360. Within, you know, a half mile, how many fatality crashes have we had? I don't know the number. But let's take a hypothetical. You know, John Doe crashes his car and dies on impact. Well, the body and spirit are ripped apart so abruptly. He's standing there looking around going, what in the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And he realizes something is wrong and something is different. And then he looks towards the cabin and sees others that are, hey, come on, come join us. You're like us now. Because we've got so many different spirits that we have encountered there, yet we don't have any history of a death in the building. And I mean, Ryan's grandfather built that building. So we know of its existence. We know its history. We know what it's been done and seen from day one.
Yeah, it's not like this goes back to 1820 and you can't find the records on the home. You know what's happened there.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan has actually seen the flyer for it for the what we believe to be the first open house in 1980. So, you know, we know its history.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know of any deaths in the building. We know of a young lady that attempted suicide there, and she, by her own account, had a near-death experience. She states that she was standing here, which by the mantle and by the hearth, and was looking at her body in the chair 6-8 feet away, and an old man and an old woman walked up beside her, and they looked at each other and they looked back at her body and the blood on each side where she had slit her wrists. And she said, we looked at each other, we looked back at my body, looked at each other again, and the old man said to me, you know, you're not ready. It's not your time. You have to go back now. Her next recollection is a very brief conversation with paramedics and then waking up in the hospital 2 days later.
Oh, wow.
So her question after telling us this story was, you don't think that the spirits here compelled me to do that, do you? I don't know.
Now, that's an interesting question, really, when you think about that, because perhaps they did compel her, but then there were spirits there to keep her from moving on.
Yeah, she had, like in her story, she told us that it was 4 a.m. She owned a new townhouse just about 2 miles down the road. But at 4 a.m. one night, she felt compelled to come to the cabin. Didn't know why. called her best friend, told her she's in a bit of a dark place, going to the cabin to kind of get her poop in a group and clear her head, hung up on her best friend, and then turned her phone off. So her best friend called for a welfare check just out of concern. And when the paramedics and I'm assuming sheriff got there, she had a heart rate of 43.
Oh, my goodness.
So she was, for all intents and purposes, dead.
It's so interesting that there's a couple there that, and now that could have been her own grandparents or somebody, you know, maybe her own spirits around her that were saying, no, 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 you have to go back. They might not have been associated.
You know, I made mention of having an old man standing above me while I slept in the cabin one night. Her description of the old man that was standing beside her and the old man that was standing over my feet looking at me matched.
Oh.
And I would, like, I locked eyes on this gentleman for a good 3, 4, 5 seconds before I whipped my head around to find my weapon. I truly thought somebody had broken in. And I was fearful. But I would say that his period of clothing was probably 1930s, 1940s. But we do know of a house during the Civil War that stood almost on that same footprint. And it was the Curry family. But we do not have a description, well, not an accurate description of what they looked like, nor their ages. So I don't know. Maybe it was Mr. and Mrs. Curry from, you know, Civil War era that was in the house.
I find that so interesting that she could, in the middle of the night, if she was really in that dark a place, she could have just done that at her own townhome. But instead, she was drawn to go to the cabin. I think that's
interesting. Cabin has a way of calling people. And I've heard people, they've heard people say that they've had dreams about the cabin before they've even gone out there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did they know it was the cabin, like they were going to be going out there? Or was it kind of one of those things they walked in? It's like, oh my gosh, I had a dream I was here.
Kind of both. I've had people tell me, like, before they knew where they were going to come out, and they've had, you know, they've said, well, I've had a dream about it, and they've said that I've had a dream about this place before I even knew about it.
What could be existing within the cabin that could do that? I'm sure you guys have given that some thought.
I mean, that would be an awesome question to be able to answer.
but nobody ever will. It's all theories, actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But technically everything in this field is theory, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of gut. I know what when you're there, the two of you know this place very, very well. And so I would think that your feelings about it are very valid because you've both spent so much time there. That I think you just get to know it on a different level.
The place still surprises me.
Yeah, even after hundreds of investigations there, we still get those WTF moments.
Because it sounds like there's a lot of different spirits there. Could it be a place, too, where kind of, or do you think that spirits kind of pass through?
We've had several mediums tell us that it's kind of a bus terminal or a train terminal. They just come and pass through. So I think we have our, for lack of better terms, resident spirits. I think there are 4 or 5 in the cabin itself. I think there are, 4, maybe 5 in the Brick Rancher, and then countless in the woods. And then I think we have those, for lack of better terms, passerby. You never know who you're going to get interaction with.
But you can tell when you're talking or communicating with one that is familiar to you. You've kind of picked up on the same energies.
There was a rumor at one point that the upstairs or the cabin itself was used as a brothel like in the late 90s, early 2000s, that the cabin was used as a brothel. We were upstairs in the back room, which we call the backlight room. And I was doing an EVP session. It was me, my girlfriend, my friend John, and he was asking questions. And a woman comes through on the EVP saying, "I'm naked." Clear as day. A few months later, the same woman comes through upstairs, same room, saying, "I'm dying." We have captured the same voice twice.
And if it was used for a brothel, that adds a whole nother layer of emotions and abuse. And I don't know, there's a lot going on in a brothel, I would think.
We get a lot of interesting EVPs upstairs in that room, where you can tell that there was something extracurricular going on in that particular room.
We've had so many different EVPs up there, some of which are not PG, but
yeah,
it's been everything from he captured a female saying "I'm naked" just at random. We've also had one that says "I'm God." So, but the main point is there is so much going on there, and there are so many different layers that you never really know what has taken place there. It makes it very difficult to track history when there's not much reported.
Especially
so trying to find the layers is very difficult.
Because especially if that is the, I'm using air quotes, business that was going on in there, that's all. Nobody's talking about that. That's secretive. You know, so if you've got activity like that going on.
Yeah, I have tried to research news articles saying that, you know, the sheriff's department raided such and such property. I wasn't able to find that. You know, and that's kind of your first start, is see what you can find that validates any of these stories. And finding news articles that validate these stories that we've gotten from locals is very difficult.
Because I just have to guess that they were under the radar. They didn't want to be known. They don't want to draw attention to themselves if they're doing illegal things.
Most definitely. I mean, if it was raided, how long had it been going on for law enforcement to become aware of it? How long had law enforcement been monitoring it so they would have a strong enough case to warrant raiding a location? And in that, you know, let's take a hypothetical 6 months, year, maybe more. What took place there that, you know, they don't know about, that I can't find any history on?
But do you think because, like, the rancher next door has such negative, intensely negative energy, do you think that that's all connected? Or do you think they're kind of two separate negative things going on?
And this has been a very good question. I think, honestly, the two of them are two separate bodies, so to speak. And they have their own things going on. I don't think they interact. But I think if we picture the paranormal in time periods as different layers of an onion, I think what's going on here are different layers of the onions. So I don't think they're familiar with each other. I could be wrong, but we haven't been able to, you know, truly ask, do you know the spirits in the cabin, and get a definitive answer? Or now we have asked in the cabin, do you know about the dark spirit in the basement of the rancher, and we get an affirmative. But is that, for lack of better ideas or back lack of better terms, is that a spirit just trying to seek attention?
And does the cabin feel as dark as the rancher? Or does it feel dark on certain days? Maybe other days it feels different.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I mean, it's never felt to me as dark as the rancher, but it has felt dark before. I have had experiences where I don't feel comfortable in the cabin, but that's few and far between. But when people walk into the rancher, every time they walk into the rancher, they're like, okay, there's something here. I don't feel right. But that usually does not happen in the cabin. It has happened before, but not that much.
What do you feel, Dennis, when you go in? How do you feel different in the two different locations?
Typically, the cabin feels a lot more laid back. You do feel watched. You do feel like there is energy there. And we've heard enough footsteps and voices and everything else that, you know it's an active location. But it doesn't have the heavy kind of heart palpitations feeling that the rancher has. The rancher has a totally different vibe to it.
Now, you were talking about seeing the man and actually thinking it was a man watching you. Have you had other experiences in the cabin, Dennis? I'm going to guess the answer is yes.
Not so much seeing a full-bodied apparition like that. That was actually the first and only one that I've seen in the cabin as far as a full-bodied apparition. But I was sitting in the main room with a group of probably 6 or 8 people, and this is during one of our events, and we're just generally chit-chatting, and we hear shuffling noises on the steps, like somebody's moving up and down on the steps. So finally I set a 360 periscope on the bottom landing and set a K2 on the first step. So the way the steps are, you go up 2 steps, you hit a little landing, and then it turns left to go up the rest of the steps. But I set the K2 or the 360 on the landing and a K2 on the first step. And, you know, I said, hey, you can come on down and join us. You're more than welcome. You don't have to hang in the stairway. And we all heard what sounded like somebody walking on the steps. Then the 360 periscope lit up from like the 9 o'clock position to the 6 o'clock position in a clockwise direction. Like something had walked down and walked around that. Then the K2 pegged. And then you heard what sounded like 2 footsteps onto, at that time, we had laminate flooring down. And all of us that were sitting there just kind of looked at each other like, you heard that shit, right? That's real. So, I mean, we have had some very distinct activity in there. But the night that the old man was standing at my feet, we had done a toy drive, and it was about 2 in the morning, and I didn't feel like driving home. So I just threw a pillow against the railing up in the loft area, slid into my sleeping bag. I had laid my weapon, I carry sidearm, and I had laid it up near my shoulder. I had my phone plugged in with music playing on Pandora and a speaker downstairs. I woke up because it went silent. And as I'm clearing the cobwebs and kind of looking around, this old man was just standing at my feet, looking at me with his arms crossed over his chest. Scared the bejesus out of me. I thought somebody had broke in. So
that's how real it was.
He was gone. That's how solid he was. I drew my weapon thinking somebody had broke in.
And he just kind of disappeared because you would have heard him.
He just
walking off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He just vanished.
At that point, I would have packed up my sleeping bag and decided it was time to go home. I don't think I could have stayed.
I guess that's where I'm a little weird. Because I told him, you just stay in the back of the cabin, leave me the F alone, and we'll get along just fine. And I went back to sleep.
Dang, I wish I was more like you, Dennis. I wish I was able to do that.
Well, see, the funny part is that's not the first time or not the only time you've drawn your weapon.
No,
on the property.
Yeah, there's been 3 times I've drawn my weapon against what turned out to be nobody.
And it happened once in the rancher, didn't it?
No, I've never. Well, I held my weapon to make sure that, and that was when Mike and Sean, or not Mike, Dave and Sean were there for the weekend. We walked in the door and heard 2 voices just loudly speaking. I placed my hand on my weapon, but I didn't draw it at that point. But we were in the woods one night, and we were in the way back, which is by definition at the way back portion of the woods. And I had a public group with me, like 8 women, and we weren't getting activity, but we were hearing footsteps all around us on our perimeter. And I told them, just turn your back to the center of the circle and watch outward, see what you see. Now, usually if we have a public event or large private group, we run through the woods and we place glow sticks around each area. One, it helps them find the trail and not get lost, hopefully. And two, it gives you something that you can focus on and potentially see movement. Well, I had a REM pod and 360 set up, and I asked the question, what do you think of Abraham Lincoln? And everybody in my group heard 3 or 4 heavy footsteps. The 360 periscope lit up. The REM pod went off. The girl behind me jumped and hollered, what the hell? And then something went across the small of my back with enough force that when it hit my weapon, it kicked my hip to the side.
Wow.
So I immediately grabbed a flashlight and started looking around to see what, you know, thinking I'd see wildlife or something. There was nothing. So once everybody calmed down, asked the girl behind me what made her jump and holler. And she said, straight up, after those two devices went off, it felt like a full hand grabbed my thigh just below my butt. She's like, I thought it was you. I was ready to slap you. And then she was like, wait a minute, I've investigated with you before. I've never seen you jump, but you jumped. So what happened to cause that? So I explained to him what happened. Something ran across the small of my back.
Oh, because you seem like the kind of guy who would be pretty chill in situations that you wouldn't overreact. And so I imagine to see you jump that for them was like, whoa, did you see Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, well, Ryan, give her an idea what it's like to go through a haunted house with me, haunted, you know, the Halloween jump scare.
I cannot do those.
Well, if you don't want to be scared to go in a haunted house like that, just put Dennis in front of you and he will point out every scare actor that's about to jump out at you.
Oh, Dennis.
It's great for me because I don't like it either, but the people who are actually doing the scaring it get kind of pissed off at it.
I need someone like you because I think I'm just so jumpy because I think they're going to come out at any time from any direction. And I am the person who is screaming through those. It just comes out.
I'm the wet blanket.
Yeah.
I'm the wet blanket.
The weighted blanket.
Yeah. I mean, so Ryan and Carissa and myself went to St. Albans Sanatorium. Huge building. We did there. I don't even remember what they call it now, but we went through their haunted attraction. And they gave the three of us one glow stick. Well, I'm walking in front, and we're approaching a corner, and I know that from my right, there is somebody there in the dark. I can feel their energy. I stepped left, put my right hand up, and said, please don't yell in my ear. And they were like, how the hell did you know I was there? Well, then a little bit later, we come up on another little side room thing, and they reached out and snatched the glow stick, and I just kept walking through the darkness. These two are following me going, how the hell can you tell where you're going? I let my spirits lead me.
That's impressive. That really is.
So I kind of suck walking through jump scare places because I feel their energy long before they move.
And I would really appreciate someone like you.
Now, no, because you feel like you've wasted money.
You have a remote view your next haunted location you go to or next jump scare location, and he can tell you where the people are going to be before you get there.
I would love that so much. Then I would go. And that wraps up part one of our conversation about returning to the cabin on 360 with Dennis Eslock and Ryan Jones. For more information, just search The Cabin on 360 on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything without the commercials, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, Grove City. Did you know the new nationwide Children's Close to Home Center is now open at 1350 Stringtown Road? Get access to urgent care, lab services, therapies, and more from the trusted experts at one of America's top 10 children's hospitals, now closer to your home than ever before. Visit nationwidechildrens.org/grovecity for information about our services and make an appointment for your child today.